What a great day to remember that Jesus is alive. Let me just read that account from the Gospels as we just take a few moments just to reflect on what it means for us this day. I'm going to read from John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, it's a Sunday, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. What an amazing account. And I just want to take a few moments to think what that means for us. And I want to take a few moments particularly to think about this lady, Mary Magdalene. I'd hoped to see the film before I came and preached the sermon, but I haven't been to see it. I don't know if anyone has seen it. But I just want to take a few moments to think of this lady. Because the first thing I want to say is that Mary, can I suggest, was the very first Christian. Mary was the very first Christian. Why do I say that? Well, we said to the children, Romans 10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What two things did Mary do? She believed that Jesus rose from the dead because she met him. And she cried out, "Rabboni." The Aramaic is not as quite as simple as the Hebrew, so it could literally be master or Lord. So can I suggest that Mary was that very first Christian? And I just want to take a moment. We use that word Christian very easily and glibly. Some of us identify ourselves as Christians. Some of us would like to be. Some of us wouldn't like to be. We don't quite know what that term means. Can I just take a few moments to, on this Easter morning, using Mary, to help us understand what does it mean for me to become a Christian? What does it mean for me to be a Christian? The first thing I want to say is the first thing about faith and becoming a Christian. If we have the next slide, please, David. The first thing we need to say is that faith is possible. It's possible. Can I add, faith is possible for anyone. It's possible for anyone to have faith in the resurrection. It's possible for anyone to say Jesus is Lord. And it's possible for anyone to become a Christian. And I think, why did Jesus appear to Mary first? Why did Jesus appear to her? Why was she the first Christian, the first witness of what being a Christian is? Why Mary? I don't know is the answer, but let's have a think about it. Why choose Mary when, I hate to tell you this, I don't want to alienate half my congregation now, but actually, in those times, ladies were not allowed to give evidence in court because they weren't considered trustworthy witnesses. So why your first witness, first Christian, is a lady? Why Mary? Now, I'd say I don't know what the film speculates, but it's very difficult to get a lot about who Mary Magdalene was. The only thing we read definitely in Scripture is that she had seven spirits taken from her. What we hear is that she was a messed up lady. That she had things in her life that were oppressing her. We don't know the details of what. We don't know exactly what they were. But we know that she was an oppressed lady. So if you knew that, if you knew this lady was an oppressed, perhaps emotional, you would have thought, you certainly wouldn't choose her to become the first Christian, to be the first witness. Interpretations also suggest that Mary is linked with one of the other nameless characters in the Gospels who was known as sexually immoral. Whether that's true or not, we do not know and we'll never know. But if it was, what does that suggest? That Jesus appears, the first Christian, was a woman, had been oppressed, and was sexually immoral. Of all the people you would choose to become the first Christian, to be the first witness to the resurrection of Jesus, can I suggest the first person wouldn't be Mary Magdalene? She would probably be way down on the list. And yet, that is the grace of God. That shows us that faith is possible for absolutely everyone. No one is ruled out. No one is excluded. Your education doesn't exclude you. Your background doesn't exclude you. Your past, your mistakes, your failures, nothing excludes you. Faith is possible for everyone. That's what Mary tells us. The second thing, can I suggest, is that faith is unpersuasive. And I'd be careful what I'm going to say here, but I hope you get the point that actually we can never persuade anyone into faith. Because if you read this story, Jesus and Mary Magdalene was a close follower of Jesus. When Jesus had released her and shown his love to her, she followed Jesus. She looked after Jesus. She was very important in the community of Jesus. In fact, some historians would say she was equivalent to the disciples, and she was as significant in that group as many of the male disciples. She was significant. So what I'm saying is that she would have known everything about Jesus. She would have been there when Jesus taught and when he spoke. She would have been there when he spoke to the public, but also when he spoke to his closest disciples. She would have been there. And she would have heard over and over again, as we read in the Gospels, that Jesus says he was going to Jerusalem to die, but 3 days later, what was he going to do? Rise again. Jesus wasn't keeping this a secret. This was something he taught. This is something he proclaimed. And of all the people to believe that, surely Mary would have been that person. Someone who loved Jesus, who had known Jesus, who had heard it time and time again that Jesus was going to die, but 3 days later he was going to rise again. We think that believing in the resurrection of the dead is difficult for us. As if somehow it was easier back then. That's a bit of arrogance. It was difficult back then. As difficult back then. Even though they'd seen Jesus, even though he said he'd rise again, perhaps their minds were, well, perhaps he won't rise physically. Perhaps he'll just rise at the last day. I don't quite know what he's getting. And because we don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. That's not something that's part of our experience. We've never seen it happen. And even if God is going to restore all things, even if I'm a good Jew, I know the resurrection will be at the end of all time. So actually, my friend, even the Saviour who I believe, won't rise again, literally and physically. It's difficult to believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. But as we look at the evidence, and though I can say it's unpersuasive, and we'll come back to that, can I also say that faith and being a Christian is, however, plausible. It is plausible. That doesn't mean that it's unpersuasive, that there is no persuasion, there is no argument. And I hope, as we've seen a little bit with the children, the evidence actually is overwhelming. The evidence is overwhelming that Jesus did physically rise from the dead. As you look into the accounts, as you look in to see what happened, as you look in to see the Roman authorities cover up, as you look in and see, as we read, Peter and John, they went into the tomb. They saw, the Greek word is not literally, they physically just saw with their eyes, that they actually began to think about it. They saw in the sense that as you're working through a maths problem and it doesn't make sense, you suddenly say, I see. It becomes to be clear and begins to make sense and make muddled. And even they, we read, even though they hadn't understood from the scriptures or Jesus' word that he had to rise and again, it wasn't obvious from that. But looking at the evidence, it was plausible. The evidence fitted the fact that Jesus must have physically risen from the dead. There was no other logical explanation to fit the evidence. And both Peter and John, without seeing Jesus, we read that they saw, they beheld, they considered, and they believed. So faith is plausible. And can I suggest this is where we begin that journey of faith? Because even though it may be, not possible for us to work it out for ourselves, but actually, can I suggest that as we start looking, as we start looking at the evidence, as we start seeing, as we start searching, and maybe this Easter Sunday, as we start looking at this Jesus and looking at, did he rise again? What's the evidence? What could have happened? What was going on here? As we start looking, it is at that point that Jesus meets us. Because though we can't work out faith ourselves, actually, as we start looking at the plausibility, as we start seeking, as we start searching, as Mary did, it is then that Jesus comes to us. Because the other thing about faith is it's personal. It is personal. that the reason that Jesus, that Mary believed in Jesus, was as she started looking, as she started grappling, as she wondered where Jesus' body was, as she was trying to work it through, trying to come to terms with what had happened, as she was looking at the evidence, as she was uncertain and in tears of grief and uncertainty, she was still searching despite her doubts. It was as she was searching that Jesus to her. And that's my experience, that as we encourage people to look into the evidence, as we encourage people to search for Jesus, to look on this Easter day, what does the resurrection mean? Did it happen? Could it have happened? What might it mean? As we begin that search, faith then is only made possible when Jesus comes to meet us. Because faith is a personal thing. Faith is, as we search for Jesus, he will find us. The story of the lost sheep and the lost coin tell us the story that God, Jesus is the hound dog of heaven, as one theologian puts it. He is the one who searches after us. And when we begin looking, when we begin seeking, when we begin to find how plausible it is that Jesus did rise from the dead, that Jesus is God, then he comes and meets us. And like Mary, he comes to us and calls our name. Mary. Simon. Linda. Paul. Debbie, Cal, Judith, David, Wenda, whatever your name is, as we start searching, as we start looking, the resurrection of Jesus, not the resuscitation, the resurrection of Jesus means he comes to us and we hear his call our name. Have you heard him call your name? The book of Revelation describes it as Jesus standing at the door of our lives. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. That's Jesus. And as we start looking, as we come to church on Easter day and start looking and remembering and believing again, Jesus comes to us and calls our name. Calls our name. Because it's personal. The question is, do we recognize Jesus? Mary at first didn't recognize Jesus. Why? There could be lots of reasons. It could have been her grief and her pain. Is your grief and pain stopping you recognizing Jesus this morning? Could have been her intellectual inability to understand that Jesus could have risen from the dead. Is your intellectual uncertainty stopping you recognizing Jesus? Maybe it was just her fear or her feeling not good enough. Maybe it's because she was looking for the wrong Jesus. She was looking for the Jesus that she wanted, the Jesus that she'd heard about and walked with, and she wasn't looking for a resurrected, risen Jesus. Are you looking for the wrong Jesus? What's stopping you hear his name? Because he's calling. Because you're here and you're looking and you're searching. So I know he's calling. What's stopping you hear his personal call? And when you hear it, what should our response be? Mary, Master. Master. Lord. God. Saviour. King. Boss. Remembering Romans 10:10, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This morning, as you hear his voice, as you hear him call your name, as you hear him knock on the door of your life, what's your response? Yes, Lord. Yes, Master. Because that's what a Christian is. And for those of you who are Christians, just to add, Revelation 3, where Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock, actually was written to people who called themselves Christians. It's easy in the busyness of life, in our weaknesses, in our humanity, that we push Jesus out. We push him out of our lives, out of our schedules. But he comes again to us and calls our name because it's personal. The final thing I want to say is that faith is powerful. Because we read this unusual statement that when Mary saw Jesus, where she became a Christian, when she heard her name and she responded, you are Lord, and believed that he really was alive, she then became a Christian. Are you a Christian? Can I ask you that before we move on? Do you believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead? Have you heard him call your name and have you said, yes, Lord? Don't put it off. Do it now. Hear his voice now. Know that you are a Christian now. Because it is powerful. Because Jesus then goes on to, Mary was clinging on to him. And Jesus says, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go into my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Why wasn't Mary allowed to cling on to him? Because the other disciples were allowed to touch him and see who he was and check him out. Why wasn't Mary allowed to cling on to him? Well, can I suggest that there are two things to think about. The first thing to think about is Jesus was going to heaven from where he would return. And therefore, first of all, is to know that Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. And therefore, we need to be those who have a true hope in believing. In believing in Jesus that we may know that he comes for us. And also believing that even if we die, we will be with him because he's gone to the Father. And as we pray for Doug and Rhonda and the family at this sad occasion as they grieve Linda, we also celebrate. And as the funeral is on Tuesday, it will be a celebration of our belief that Linda is with the Lord in heaven. And death itself will never be able to separate us from him. That's the hope of Easter. We do not live in fear of death because it's been defeated. But the second reason, and perhaps a more significant reason, why Jesus said this. Because when Jesus was to ascend into heaven, he'd already told his disciples that he would go to heaven that he may send them the Holy Spirit. Because as Mary had to let him go, we need to realize that the physical bodily presence of Jesus on earth would not accomplish what Jesus wanted to. Because Jesus wanted to draw all people to himself. Jesus wanted all people to hear their names called down through the ages. Jesus wanted all people to experience the resurrection power of Jesus in their lives to transform them. And so he was going to heaven that the Holy Spirit might come, that all people could be filled with the love of God. All people could be transformed and know the love of Jesus. And that's why Jesus was ascended. So that we even though we do not see him physically with our eyes, that the Holy Spirit has come, that the risen, resurrected Jesus can be with us. And the risen, resurrected Jesus, John had told them in John 14, could come and make his home with us. That the risen, resurrected Jesus by the Spirit could come and dwell in us and be at home in us so that we could know his love. We could know his forgiveness. We could know his peace. We could know his presence. And can I just close by saying, as we become a Christian, it's about declaring with our mouth. It's about believing in our heart. And as we do that, Jesus comes to us and makes his home with us. But for many of us as Christians, by the Spirit, God, Father, Son, and Spirit come and make their home with us. But how much room do you give them? How much room have you given them this Easter? How at home do they feel with you? How much have they revealed themselves in your life? Because ultimately, the power of the resurrection, becoming a Christian, is allowing that Spirit to change and transform you so that God, by his Spirit, is at home in your life. That God can reveal himself in you and through you to those you live with and work with. That's the message of the resurrection. And that's why after Easter, we're going to be looking at the Sermon on the Mount. That's why after Easter we're going to offer the Freedom in Christ course. Because many of us have believed in our hearts. Many of us have declared with our mouth Jesus is Lord. But the reality of God being at home in our lives is not what it should be. But the power of the resurrection shows the transformation that should be in our lives and is available for us. So as we journey on from Easter, let's make sure that God is at home in our lives, that we are truly transformed and changed, that we truly go and tell others, and others see in us the power of God in our lives. And the things with which God is not at home, the past, the difficulties, the issues, the bitterness, the hurt and the pain, let's deal with it and allow God to truly be at home in us. Mary, the first Christian. She believed that Jesus rose from the dead, and she confessed that he was Lord. How about you? What are you going to do with the resurrection of Jesus? Can you hear him call your name? Are you going to answer, yes, Lord? And are you going to allow the Spirit to make God at home in your life? That he can change you, transform you, and allow you to tell others this amazing good news. We're going to worship, because that's all we can do on this day. Because declaring him Lord is declaring him our God and offering our best in worship. As we believe he's alive, and as we worship him, this is our response. But let me pray as we stand. Let's stand together. Lord Jesus, we believe you rose again. We believe that you are now ascended in heaven. We believe you are victorious over death, and all those who die in Christ will be with you. But we also believe that you have sent your Holy Spirit on us. And that by your Holy Spirit, the powerful risen Lord Jesus is here among us. And we want to welcome him. And we want to worship him. And we want to hear him call our name. And we want to allow him to be at home in our life. We want to allow him to change us and transform us. We want to allow him to pour his love into our hearts. And we want to meet him. And encounter him and let him do what he wants to do by his Spirit on this Easter morning. And for those who haven't yet called themselves Christians, may they right now believe in their heart that Jesus did rise from the dead. hear him call their name and declare, Jesus, you are my Lord. And begin a life of worship and witness for our glorious Saviour.